Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah, chapter 45, and verse 22. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And our subject this morning is the look that saves, the look that saves. Well, we come this morning to consider these words in the book of the prophet Isaiah, and this is a book that we very often turn to in our morning service, in our gospel service, and I intend to study this book in our Bible study on Wednesday, so I'm not going to give very much context this morning. Suffice to say what I always say about this book, that it is, an Old Testament book, that's obvious, written 700 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet this prophet Isaiah and this book contains so much clear information about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his first coming, about his second coming even, you could say, and about the gospel age. So when we preach the gospel, when we present the gospel, we continually go back to this book. We've done it so many times in the past, and we will do many times in the future, no doubt about that at all. But these words before us in verse 22, well, this is just one example of the gospel to be found in this book. These words are full of gospel application. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. So let us examine these words and apply them briefly. Look unto me and be ye saved. Well, prophet Isaiah is writing these things, but of course he's not speaking of himself. He's not saying to people to look unto him. He is, of course, inspired by God to speak the word of God. He is writing God's words for him. That's what the prophets did. And we affirm this and we remind people of this, that the prophets did not write their own opinions, that which they thought about religion. The prophets were inspired of God to write down what he wanted them to write down. And it is often described in this way, that the prophets were the pen in the hand of the Almighty. A pen doesn't write anything down. It's the one who is holding the pen. He writes the words. The pen is the instrument. And so the prophets, they were just instruments in the hand of God. And so the prophet Isaiah, he is writing what God wants him to write, the word of God. So this is what God wants to say to us. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And these words, we could spend so much time looking at them and thinking about them, but we're only going to spend a brief time and very simple applications. But look unto me is the first thing that we have here, the first instruction, the first exhortation. We must look to the Lord. Now, it is one of the great teachings of the Bible that we must be very careful what we look at and who we look to. That's one of the great teachings of Scripture. We must be very careful what we look at, most particularly with our eyes, because we are told in the Scriptures that what we look at with our eyes makes a great difference to our spiritual state. The things that we look at, the things that we gaze upon, we may not realize it, we may not fully understand it, but our eyes, what we take in with the eyes, it affects our inward state, our mind, our heart, the affections, the soul. That is one of the teachings of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in the New Testament in Matthew 6. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It's quite a mysterious passage, but what it does do is it establishes a connection between the eye and the state of the soul. The eye. The light of the body is the eye. So if we spend our time looking at or taking in the wrong things or wicked things, then our souls will be corrupted. But if we spend our time looking at the things that are good and right, then our souls will be blessed. How is it with us? We have to ask this question. The Lord goes on to say in Matthew 6, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. So we have to ask ourselves, what do I look at? What do I gaze upon? And do those things, how do they affect me? Do they bring light into my soul, or do they bring darkness? We must look to the light. David, in one of the Psalms, wrote this, Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, because David knew the damage it would bring to his soul. And Job, well, he swore to the Lord that he would make a covenant with his eyes. He would make a covenant not to look at any indecent thing that would provoke lust within him. This is what they did. And this is what every Christian does. You know, we talk a lot about repentance. And one of the features of repentance is that we no longer look on the unholy things of this world, the things that once delighted us, the things that once took our fancy. We look away from those things and we look to the Lord. That's what repentance is. If you want to look to God, you have to look away from the things of the world. You can't look at both. You can't have both. You can't say to yourself, I'll be a Christian, I'll have the things of the world and the things of God. No, if you want to look to God, you have to look away from the things of the world. Because the things of the world, they will only defile your soul, corrupt your soul. But if you look to God, He will bless you. He is light. He is everlasting light. He will bring light into your soul. Not the things of this world, of course not. The things of this world, they are darkness. But we look to God. This is what He's saying. Look unto me. And so this is what repentance truly is. A turning away from the things of this world. We look to the Lord. And this is so very vital and important. And well, when we look to the Lord, it's very amazing because, your vision actually changes when you look to the Lord. This is a mysterious thing again, but when we start looking at the Lord, well, we start noticing things we never saw before. For starters, we start taking in eternal things, eternal things. People who don't look towards God, they're only looking to the things of this life. They only care about the things of this life, this world, my job, my relationship, my health, my wealth. You speak to people out in the street who never go to church, they're only focused on this life. That's what they look to. But when you look to God, well, then suddenly you realize there's so much more to this life. There's so much more to this world. You start thinking about eternity. Eternity. What happens after this life? We live on this world for such a short time. And then what happens next? Suddenly we can see these things because we've started looking towards God. And we think to ourselves, where will my soul be for all eternity? Where will my soul be in 1,000 years' time? That's how one preacher put it. Where will I be? My never dying soul. And we say this so often. There are two parts to every man. There's the outer man, the body, the flesh, but there is the inner man, the soul. The soul will not die in the sense that it will be annihilated. The soul is eternal. And so where will your soul be after you have left this world? Suddenly we can take these things in. We can think of these things and plan for eternity because we're looking to God, not the things of this world. We look to the Lord. But some person may say, how do I look to God? Look unto me and be ye saved. Well, how do I look to God? You can't see God. You can't literally see God with your eyes. That's what some people say. You say, look to God. Where is he? Well, of course, we know God is invisible. How can we look to God? Well, one of the things that we must say to people, to seekers, you pray. If you want to look to God, you pray. You come to the Lord in prayer. There's a tremendous psalm, Psalm 121, verse 1. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The psalmist is saying he's going to look for help from God. He can't literally see God, of course not. But he knows that when he prays, when he calls upon God, he knows that God will hear him. He knows that God will bless him. He knows that God will help him. It's almost as though he can see it. That's what it is to look to God, looking to God, praying in faith. He can't literally see God with his eyes, but he can see him by faith. And he knows he's not praying to the air. He's praying to the true and living God. So that is one way. You want to look to God, you start praying. You start praying to the Lord and knowing and believing that he hears you and that he sees you. But you also look to the Word of God. Perhaps this is slightly easier for people. Do you read the Scriptures? That's looking to God. God has given us his Word. He's inspired the prophets and the apostles to give us this Word. And when a Christian looks to God, well, he reads the Word of God. That is what it is. A Christian, for example, when he is seeking guidance, he reads the Word of God. He looks to God. He doesn't go to men. He doesn't think to himself, what does the world think I should do? Or what do people think I should do? He looks to God. He reads the Word of God. And he takes guidance and wisdom from the Word. Look unto me, says God. This is what we do. We look to God for all our needs. We look to God for all the things that the world promises but cannot give us. We look to God for all of those things, for joy, for example. So many people in this world, they are without joy. They are joyless. They are in despair. We're at the start of a new year, ought to be full of optimism and anticipation. So many people are in despair. There is no joy. But if you look to God, you read his word, you will find the living God saying, fear not, rejoice evermore, rejoice, I am with you. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. There's joy in this word. If you look to God, if you look to the Lord, there is peace. Again, so little peace in this world, so many people troubled. Well, again, we look to the Word of God and we find that there is so much peace, that peace that passes all understanding. You won't find that anywhere else. You can look everywhere else. It's only when you look to God you will find these things. So this is how we look to the Lord. You pray. You read the Word of God, and well, we hear in this verse of salvation, there is more to this verse, not just look unto me, but verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Well, this is a wonderful thing to consider. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Anyone can look to the Lord. We so often say this. The gospel is open to everyone, all the ends of the earth. You know, one good thing about the modern church, there are so many things that are not good about the modern church, but one good thing about the modern church and particularly this fellowship in which we find ourselves, is that there are people from everywhere here, from all the ends of the earth. This is God's church. This is how God works. He has brought everyone from all the ends of the earth together. And this is how the Lord works. We would have nothing in common. We would never know each other at all if it were not for the Lord. And it is the Lord that brings people together. The world is so often looking for ways to bring people together. But it's only the gospel that brings people together. People who were previously enemies. This is how it's been through the history of the gospel age. People who were previously enemies, perhaps rival nations, perhaps rival tribes. They have been brought together. You read of this in Christian history. How have they been brought together? By the gospel, because they believe in Christ. You see, the gospel is the only real way to bring peace to anybody. Peace on earth, peace with God. And this is, part of what we read here. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And I'll mention a bit more about that a little later. But what does it mean to be saved? Look unto me and be ye saved. Well, the scriptures speak of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must look to him if we are to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, of course, is the eternal Son of God. Christ is God. The prophet Isaiah said of the Lord that he would be God with us. He gave him a name, Emmanuel, which in Hebrew means God with us. It has a meaning, God with us. And that is who Christ is. You know, when we think about looking to God, well, the only way you can really look to God is to look at Christ. Look at Christ. In the New Testament, you know these words very well. There was that occasion recorded in John chapter 14, when the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, Philip, said, "Show us the Father. We want to see God. We want to look unto God." And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He that hath seen me, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's something very important. If we want to look to God, where do we look? We look to Christ. We turn to him. Those who have seen him have seen the Father. And he is the Savior. He has come to be our Savior, to bring salvation to those who are in need. And we are all in need. But what is it to be saved? Well, there are many things we could say about salvation. I don't want to speak too long this morning. But very simply, when you think about being saved, well, you often think about your life being saved. If somebody has had their life saved or preserved, well, that is really what they often think of. And this is what the gospel is all about. It's about the salvation of life. It's about our lives being saved. It's about having true life. True life. You know, true life can only be known once death is removed. That's the only way you can have true life. Life in all its fullness, life in all its abundance. You cannot have true life, full life, when death is hanging over us. You can't have true life with death hanging over you, and you never know when it's going to come. It could come at any time. Death, well, if we have death hanging over us, we cannot possibly know true life. But this is the wonderful thing about the gospel. The gospel removes the sting of death. It sets us free from death because Christ has died for us. Christ has died in our place. instead of us. And this is something that the prophet Isaiah knew very well. We are all destined to die. You know this, or you should know this. We are all destined to die because we have all sinned. We have all sinned. The Bible teaches us that the punishment for sin is death. That's always been the punishment for sin, right from the Garden of Eden. When Adam took the forbidden fruit, when he sinned, what was the punishment? It was death. That hasn't changed. The punishment for sin is death. And so if we are to have death removed from us, somebody must die for us. Somebody must die in our place. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. We know Isaiah 53 very well, how Christ, the Messiah, will be wounded for our transgressions, how he will be bruised for our iniquities. The things that we have done, Christ would suffer and die for us. We have sinned, and yet Christ was the one whom God put in our place to be our Savior. And so this is the glorious thing. A Christian has no fear of death. Yes, he dies physically. Yes, a Christian may die physically, but for a Christian to die, well, it's only really to enter into life. It's to enter into everlasting life. Death has no sting because we are forgiven all our sins. We know that we shall go to be with the Lord. Our sins are forgiven. We can go to heaven. There'll be no condemnation for us. We'll be spared the punishment. We'll be spared that lost eternity. We can go to be with the Lord. We have abundant life because Christ has died our death. Dear friends, this is what it means to look to the Lord. This is so important. The eternal future of your soul. Look unto me and be ye saved. What are you heading for, dear friends? What are you heading for? Are you heading for salvation? Or are you heading for condemnation? You must look to the Lord. But let us just look very briefly as we draw to conclusion at the very last part of verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Well, in this portion of the book of Isaiah, this is repeated constantly. For I am God, and there is none else. And dear friends, again, there's a lot we could say about this, but if there were more than one God, if there was, a God exactly like the God of the Bible, if there was more than one God, well, actually, neither of them would be God. Neither of them would be God. Because that which makes God God is that he's the only one. That is what makes God God, that there is no other like him. If there is somebody else like God, then there is no God. And I hope you can understand that. I hope I'm not being too profound this morning. But in order for there to be a God, there has to be only one. That's part of his holiness. That's part of his divinity. There can't be many gods. If there are many gods, there are actually no gods at all. There is only one God, one true God. And that is essential. That is the nature of God. For I am God and there is none else. This one God has only provided one way of salvation. And yes, I know that that is so offensive these days, to say that there is only one way to God, but that is what the scriptures teach us. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said the Lord. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Dear friends, there are other religions, we know that. And yes, there are some things that are noble about the other religions, There are some things that are wise about the other religions. There are some things that are even true, some measure of truth in the other religions. But here's the thing, dear friends. None of the other religions can save you. It's only God's religion. It's only Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved. It's only this one that can save you. And I'm sure I've given you this illustration before. I remember giving this illustration to somebody on the Doors when we were going knocking on doors. And he had this complaint. Why do people always say that Christianity is the only religion? And I was saying to him, dear friends, it's like waiting for a bus. When you're waiting for a bus, well, sometimes there's only one bus that will actually get you home. So you have to bypass all the others. One, two, three buses will come. They're not the right ones that will get you home. You have to take the one that will actually get you to your destination. That's the bus you take. It's not necessarily the best bus or the biggest bus. It's the one that actually gets you to your home. And this is how it is with the gospel, with Christianity. You may not think it's the best religion. It's not trying to be the best religion. You may not think it's the kindest religion. It's not trying to be the kindest religion. But this is the only religion that will save you. This is the only religion that will get you to heaven, to everlasting life, to salvation. That is how we present the Christian faith, the Christian gospel. Look unto me and be ye saved. Only to God, only to Christ can salvation be found. This is the truth of the word of God. So, dear friends, this is all you need to do. Look. Look to the Lord. To look is not hard. Anybody can do this. A young person, you're not too young to look to the Lord. If you understand that Christ has died for you, for your sins, you're not too young, you're not too old to look to the Lord. You can be on your deathbed and you can still look to the Lord in faith. See Christ with the eye of faith and know that he has suffered and died for you. Look to the Lord, dear friends. There is no excuse. And salvation is waiting for you. Christ is waiting for you with salvation in his wings, all the ends of the earth. This is the way to God. This is the way of salvation. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us